Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Blessed Master.
Blessed Master.
Dearest Mother.
Dearest Mother.
Beloved David.
Beloved David.
Saints and sages of all religions.
Saints and sages of all religions.
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only King.
Be thou the only King.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Oh. Lois and Jerry for the use of the house. It's so beautifully set up. It's just people who haven't been here for these services, so you really need to come in sometime and see what she's done for her house. The tree alone will surprise you. And all the artwork that she's done all over the house is amazing. So thank you, Lois and Jerry. Reading this morning is from Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So we'd like to do a reading of the book by Mother, the Mystical Crucifixion. And Kate, I'd like you... Oh, there you are. Would you come up and read it for us, please? So we'll start on... I think you suggested, too, the Galilee, the circuit. So Jill has given up. She's going to turn the camera over to you and just hang on one second.
So Kate's been really having a crucifixion experience of her own doing this book. It's not been really that painful or... more difficult in the sense of a crucifixion, but she has certainly been nose to the grindstone to get this book done. And we just finished it on Thursday, so we're both feeling relief of somewhat. Now, it's going through a review for just minor mistakes or anything that we can catch before we publish it. It'll probably be published in the middle of January and be available for Mother's Mahasamadhi on January 31st. So if you would start on page 35...
So, you will know more, henceforth about Mother's book here. But what we're going to read today is probably the most applicable to Christmas, because it's all about Mother's teachings around the circuit and the Christ seed and the mystical birth of the Christ. So this is chapter 4. Called Galilee the Circuit. We have been taught for centuries the historical meaning of the Bible, but those who have taught us have failed to teach the inner meaning, the deeper meaning, the truth that lies deep within each man's heart, within his consciousness. We do not know the wonders that are within us. The truth is to be found only within yourself. The scriptures speak the truth, but that truth is covered over in parables. We are told that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We are also told that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we ascribe that particular statement, because this is how we have been taught and indoctrinated, to one man who lived 2,000 years ago. Yet no one who ever saw that man was there at the time of the writing of the Scriptures. It is said that Jesus, the Son of Man, who became the Christ, was the Word of God. The Word is that power, that presence, that wisdom, which issued forth as God moved and expressed what He was inside. And that Word took on a garment of flesh, and it dwells among us. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. In the Orthodox Christian sense, we give all of that power, all of that glory to Jesus the Christ. But in the first chapter of Colossians, it says that He was the firstborn of every creature, and Jesus Himself said that ye are the temple of the living God. It is God Himself who lives inside of you. And in the beginning, just as this story tells, each and every one of us came forth in the purity of our created being, and we knew only God. We had the power to be co-creators with Him in all purity, in all light. This Bible is the story of you as a human being. It is the story of you in the physical sense, in the mental sense, and in the spiritual sense. It describes exactly what you must go through, each individual, as he comes to the state of consciousness in order to become one with his Father. And unless you know the mysteries, you cannot know what this is all about. When you come to that blessed moment when your heart yearns for God, when you long for Him, when you cry out for Him until tears flow from your eyes, it shows that the cavern of your heart has opened and that new Christ is ready to be born, the little babe. The Christmas story is a very old one, and in the way that it has been told down through the ages in the Orthodox Church, it is a very beautiful story. It has been told millions and millions of times since the time of Christ, and it never ceases to be a tale of glory. That historical story has a charm, a mystic quality about it that never ceases to hold us enraptured. We think of all the events leading up to the birth of Jesus, the Son of Man, who became the Christ, the Son of God. And they are thrilling indeed. His birth was prophesied even in Isaiah, and it is said that a child would be born who would be a Savior to men. But there's a deeper meaning in all of this. We have come to see the birth of the Christ in a very different way than we saw it when we followed the story historically. Christ, the Savior of every man, resides in the heart of everyone. He is that infinite intelligence which is within each of us. When it says that Mary, along with everyone else from many cities, was to be taxed, it meant exactly that. Because before the Christ consciousness within you can be born, you are taxed to the utmost of your capacity. So it says Joseph and Mary went into the city Bethlehem, and she was great with child. In other words, the Christ within is ready to be born. It's all a mystical thing within man. You actually feel consciously that you're going to bear a child within you. Bethlehem means the house of bread. It is that small conical-like cave behind the stomach wherein the Christ seed within you is born in that manger. There is a sacred cloister or claustrum which is right under the brain, and once every 29 and a half days there's a drop of very wonderful oil that comes from this cloister or claustrum. Half of it goes into the pituitary gland, which is the female gland, and on the anterior side of the optic thalamus gland, and half of it into the pineal gland, which is the male gland on the posterior side of the thalamus gland. One is the Mary gland, the other is the Joseph gland. When it goes into this pineal gland, it becomes a honey-like substance, and when it goes into the pituitary gland, it takes on a milk-like substance. This is the land of milk and honey that is spoken of in the Old Testament. It is the Mary gland that carries this Christ child, and it is born of the Holy Ghost, that divinity that has expressed itself in humanity. That's why the Christ story has never been understood, and why this miraculous birth, that the Virgin Mary conceived through the Holy Ghost and was touched by no man, has been a thing of mystery. The virgin birth takes place within yourself. Within each and every one, this virgin birth takes place when the Christ child is about to be born. That Christ seed is carried in back of the eyes, the nasal passage, the throat. It is carried by the same glands and the ganglion nervous system and deposited right in the conical-like cave behind the stomach. This happens when each individual at the time, both male and female, this happens with each individual at that time, both male and female, and it is said to be at the beginning of the new moon. This continually makes the circuit and returns to its source until you are ready for the final experience. The star of the east is also within you. It is the optic thalamus gland in the center of the forehead. As you lift your eyes to the hills to worship the Lord within you, you see that star of the east, that beautiful spiritual eye, with the gold on the outside and the blue of the Christ, and then that five-pointed star in the center. That is the gate to heaven within your own being, and Christ is to be found residing on the altar of your heart. Remember that Jesus said, "The light of the body is the eye, therefore let thine eye be single, and thy whole body shall be filled with light." And as you go in there in the silence and you offer yourself to him in prayer, you feel the power and the beauty of his presence. The star of the east hovers right above the manger within ourselves. It is there that the three wise men within you, those three qualities, or the three gunas as the Hindus call them, Rajas, Tamas, and Sattva, come to pay homage to the Christ child. Each of them, knowing that they have indeed become wise, are about to give up all power they had because of this birth of the Christ within you, to lay their gifts at his feet. Tamas is the melancholy one, the moody one, that one which takes you into the depths of darkness and depression. He lays at the feet of the Christ the gift of myrrh, which is bitter. Rajas lays the activating quality of the world at the feet of the Christ. This is the activity which keeps your consciousness centered on worldly things all of the time. So he lays at the feet of Christ the gift of gold, which is fool's gold. And then the sattvic quality, that which is the highest human quality which man can feel in his efforts to attain his oneness with spirit. This one lays at the feet of the Christ the gift of incense, which is symbolic of worship. But at the coming of Christ, all of them must give their gifts and put them at the feet of the Christ, because no longer will they be there. They have served their purpose. And that wonder child, that glorious one, that radiant one who comes, that one will take over the kingdom, will reign over all that is within you until he fills your whole being, your whole consciousness, with the joy and the bliss of his infinite presence. King Herod, hearing of the birth of this Christ which had been prophesied, immediately wanted to take steps to do away with this Christ child. And so he sent out an edict that all of the heads of the male children who were born around that area within a given period of time should be severed. In India, they have Krishna, the Christ. Devaki bore him, but when he was taken by Yashoda, his foster mother, because he had to be hidden away from King Kamsa so that King Kamsa would not destroy him, and in his effort to get the Lord, who would take over his kingdom, King Kamsa ordered the heads of all the male children cut off in order that he might get that one Lord that was to take over his kingdom. So what is the meaning of this? King Herod and King Kamsa represents the passions. And in expelling those passions from your being, you have forgotten that you are indeed the sons of God. So in order to expel that one Christ seed, the temptation to indulge in lust becomes so strong that you give in to it. You do not know how to control it, and therefore you waste your seed upon the earth. If during this experience the soul goes through, when it is lifted up into the consciousness of God, and wants to throw itself at his feet, this experience comes and your whole being burns with the fire of desire. You must resist that. You must retain that seed, because if you do retain that master seed in your body, it will go through the land of Egypt. And then, because in a dream Joseph was told what Herod's intentions were, he and Mary took the Christ child into Egypt, or the land of darkness, and waited until Herod was dead, or the passions have subsided. And then he made the circuit and returned to Galilee. Jesus was born the Son of Man, even as you and I, and this is symbolic of every man. Everyone is born the Son of Man. And in the beginning, we have all of the animal instincts in us, and we cater to the things of the five senses. But gradually, as our consciousness develops, we start to sift the good from the bad, and we try to do all the things which are right. We try to obey the commandments which are given to us by God. And we must if we are to accomplish our purpose. If you cater to the things of the senses, you will never reach your goal. Now, this is not to say you can accomplish this overnight. Everything must be done in balance. But if you will keep your attention forever fixed upon God, dedicating all thoughts, all words, all deeds to Him every moment of your life, then God will bless you. He will lift you up. He will take you through all the experiences which are necessary so you may know the birth of this Christ within yourself. It is the most tremendous event in man's life. It is what he was put on earth for no other reason but to find out who and what he is, and he is heir with Christ. When he lifts his consciousness up, when he becomes one with that Christ consciousness which permeates every atom of space, every form that walks the earth, he knows within himself the tremendous bliss, the tremendous delight of the birth of the Christ child within himself. Excuse me. I have experienced this whole thing in this New Testament, and it is the most fantastic thing. If anyone had ever told me that this was the true meaning of it, even though Jesus himself said to his disciples, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries, to others in parables," still I would not have believed, because I had never heard anything like that. And yet God, through his infinite grace and mercy, lifted me up. He put me through the crucifixion. He put me through the birth of the Christ within myself, and it was a glorious thing. But remember that the Christ in the beginning is wrapped in swaddling clothes. It must be protected. It must be covered until such time as this Christ consciousness within you grows and grows and grows until it becomes the full-fledged Christ. How beautiful it is to know the truth. It made this story of the birth of the Christ a real and living thing, and so much more wonderful and beautiful than constantly repeating year after year after year the story of the shepherds, the story of the wise men, the story of the star over the manger, and the story of Herod the wicked king. It is beautiful to think about, and you think about the stillness, the quietness of that night. There are many, many tales that have been woven around this silent night when Christ was born, about the roses that bloom from the earth and the thorns that have a special meaning and the creche story. When he is born within yourself, all the flowers within your being burst forth. All of the angels sing in unison. They hover around you. And when you are taken out of body consciousness at one point through this tremendous experience, you hear the voices of the angels singing, the music of the spheres, and it is the most beautiful music that man could ever imagine, because he has never heard it with his human senses. If you can go on to the very end and hear that music in your heart, to exude the perfume of Christ from your own being, to give this goodwill, good fellowship to all men, you will be what God intended you to be, a son of God, a child of God. You will be a Christed one, like he, this wonderful Christ that came to bring all of us this truth, to set the example before us. I have been told by God that it was my mission on earth to have gone through the total mystical crucifixion. I paid the full price, even unto death. I went through all of the various stages in order that I could come and tell you the truth of that which is contained in every great scripture in the world. We take it all on the esoteric level. We think of it being history outside, and indeed history has repeated itself, but it has been sent forth from the very idea or the inner mind of man. And only then, because it starts within every man, does it go forth and become history. Hmm.
conclusion on page 115.
Do you want me to read that too? Okay, excuse me. So what a wonderful, wonderful teaching Mother gave us on that. So this is the conclusion of the book. And a little quote before it is, "Everything there is in the Bible is within yourself. This is the mysticism of the Christ. This truly is his second coming." And the conclusion is called Realization. "This is my story, my way of looking at the crucifixion, because I was there. And to me, anything he may ask of me is as nothing compared to him, compared to what he has given me, the bliss of his presence, the knowledge of his infinite being within myself. This is not peculiar to me nor any man, but to every man. This is the hope that has been denied humanity, and this is the hope that is being given again to the world, because the Christ still lives. He lives in the heart in each of us, because he is with us always. How would I be able to tell you all these things of the real meaning of the mystical crucifixion if I hadn't experienced it myself? It was a very strange experience, one that I had never really read about in the sense that I went through it, and never expected to go through it in that sense. I wanted my God realization, but I didn't know I was going to get it in the way I got it. It is a tremendous price to pay, but I count it as nothing, even as Christ did, for the glory which came afterward. I was lifted up into the highest part of my being, and I came face to face with God. The light of his presence was so great that it was overwhelming, and I was filled with such bliss as you cannot possibly dream of. The one who attains that high state of oneness with him, in truth, sits at the right hand of the Father and has jurisdiction over all of the things of heaven and of earth. But that one is completely subject to the will of the Father. I come not to do my will, but his." God realization cannot be described. It can only be experienced. It says in the scriptures that no man has seen God at any time. This is true because man in his human consciousness cannot see God. But when he lifts his eyes to the hills, he goes into the mountain of his own being and meditates and prays upon God unceasingly. Then God, through his infinite mercy and grace, lifts him up, and indeed he comes face to face with the great light of his own soul. This light is indescribable, but the feeling of bliss is so great that no satisfaction of the senses, which you can possibly imagine or have ever experienced, can in any way compare with it. It is indescribable, and you want never to let it go. The bliss, the glory that I experienced was so great that I didn't want to come down again. I had gone beyond human consciousness, and to come back and to walk among all the people of the earth in order that I might teach them the truth of my experience really took some doing. Yet when I was given that choice by God, there was really no doubt of the answer. I had to come back. All were my children because I identified with God in all. I had to come back. I had to teach them the truth of my experience. Yet in order to come back, which incidentally took me 12 long years to come to the state of balance which I now enjoy, you must come down and function in human consciousness in this world of duality. You have no choice. The human ego has been crucified, but there must be an ego there, a sense of I-ness, a center from which you can operate in a human body, because even though that body has been divinized, it is still made of flesh. It still operates in this world. It still is dependent only on God, but the five senses have to be used. The 10 qualities of the subtle mind have to be used. So it is quite a thing to come down and function. If the kingdom of heaven and God are to be found within, as Jesus said, then you have to take the means within to reach that heaven within yourself, to find God within yourself so that you may see his second coming out of the clouds of the heaven of your own being. There can be no other answer. If it were to be so after 2,000 years, I'm sure we would have seen something more of a miracle on the outside than we see today. This miracle takes place in each and every one of us when we make ourselves ready to receive him. He is the sole occupant of this whole universe. He is the sole doer of this whole universe. And so no matter what, all things go to him and are contained within him. There is nothing but God everywhere. Lift your consciousness to the heaven within yourself and see his glory. He fills your being. He fills you with his light, and he walks before you, making perfect your way. I come to beg you to go to him and to find that one who is your very self. I tell you the truth that has never been told like this before. But you see, the time for knowing has come. I have gone the way. I have paid the price. And I offer you this gift of knowledge.
Well, I woke up this morning and I realized I just couldn't read the book myself. We had decided yesterday that it would be a good thing to introduce it. It is a tremendous, tremendous story, a fantastic book. It's really, it will really surprise you. It's only 130 some pages long. And, of course, Mother has many biblical quotes through some parts of it. So you'll see some endnotes. And for some areas there are, there's lack of clarity, we have some footnotes, but try to make that as little as possible. The most difficult thing was the, we people who knew Mother personally, we knew the general story and we knew which story had to be told in a fashion, in a book. Had some idea of it anyway. And so when we started putting it together, we realized that Mother's never says, or very rarely says one whole thing through, all the way through the whole story, given the circuit of, as Kate just read, that's many different talks. And different talks say it different ways. And so it was a very, very daunting task, as we realized, because there's 800 and some talks Mother gave. There is a lot of repetition and different ways of saying it. And it's mostly been transcribed through the efforts of David and Carla. And so it's still very strange to think of how this book has been put together, where we literally put one paragraph from one talk and another paragraph from another talk. It turns out Lorraine Sinclair did this for Joel Goldsmith. And Ernest Holmes, I think some of the books were done for him also. The Science of Mind were done from his talks. And so these kinds of things are not that unusual, especially with mothers who didn't write that much, even though God, she could write beautifully. God would not let her do the actual writing. We've always wondered why that happened during her lifetime. And then after passing, we realized, well, that's interesting, because she always said, I have to write this book. And, well, of course, David has expanded that to more like four or five books to complete the story of Mother. But it's come together the way it has. We don't know why. I think when we realize, what we realize is that what her real bequest that she gave to mankind is going to be her words herself. And so it's more difficult to make mistakes and make changes to the words if you have an audio tracking of it. So I think that's maybe why she did it the way she did it. We just don't know. It's something probably connected to her own master too. There's certainly power in Mother's words. In listening to her voice, her Shakti comes through more strongly. So Mother told me to speak about the lion lying down with the lamb today, and I don't know exactly where to go with that, except to say that as you go up in consciousness to the higher realms, things that are in opposition, a lion and a lamb, for example, become less polarized. And so in the higher realms, whatever is behind the physical aspect of the lion and the lamb in the astral world has to be first conceived there, and it actually has to be conceived really in the causal plane. The notion of a lion, the idea, and then the drawings, the manifestation in the astral realm of ideas coming into fruition, and then into the physical realm, where it's so highly polarized that there's nothing but fear between the two, between the lamb anyway, and the superiority that the lion feels. And do these souls, as they go in and out of, you know, animals' lifetimes are not very long, do they reverse, and do they actually have experiences of being the lion in previous lifetimes? And these are all wonderful things to think about, because there is something so difficult about this physical plane that we can't imagine how God could make something tear another body apart to kill another life, a lamb or a sheep, goat, all the different animals that occur in this physical world. But the physical world has been created, and it's already, in order to create the world, God already descended completely into this world to create the base for this world, and it's represented in the body of the coccygeal center. And Mother said that even the angels have to come down and live one lifetime as a human before they can get their realization. So that seems to mean that the what happens in the physical body is so, shall we call it, disturbing, or so embracing, that it forces, gives the impetus to go all the way back to God. We think of the angelic realms as being places, in relative to this world, they are places of great bliss and contentment and lack of stress. But what if you get to the point where the stress is that you are in the causal body and you're still not with God in the sense that you see it? So it's interesting that Sri Yukteswar says that people graduate and die effectively in the astral realm to go into the causal plane, and to become awake in the causal plane and be living there. But there's still more to do. There's still more to do. And though the causal plane is God-like, because it can create whole realms, each person, each entity there has the creative aspect of God. So it's interesting to contemplate why this world is the way that it is, and to see someone like Jesus come down and to show the way, to show that it can be done. I think implicit in the physical realm is, or built into it, is this desire for God. And so we really do eventually climb that ladder, even without showing us the way. Was there someone who showed Jesus the way, and was there someone who preceded that? Well, certainly that's true. Man has been here for many, many years longer than since Jesus lived. And Moses was a Christ, and Krishna was a Christ, and so was Rama and others besides. So when Jesus came, it was in the Kali Yuga, which is the darkest time. And he showed that even then it can be done. Master said to heaven astrologers, give me the worst day that you predict that I'll have the most trouble getting something done, and I assure you I will get it done. Well, in a similar way, Jesus showed us that this is coming into the, as a poor person. And again, we don't know if the story is the way it's told in the Bible. That's what Mother's whole point here is. But Mother also said that there was some great, great master who lived at that time. And that's who Jesus the Christ was. And that's what the story is clothed around him. Some great master that may have been his own story. He may have told these stories. And the stories themselves had a life of their own. One of the most important aspects of bliss is that their Papa tells us there is no opposite to bliss. So when we see the word and the idea of bliss that being talked about here, the higher realms, we certainly know it's less stress. So the duality does not exist there. It's a non-dual thing. So if we think of it as joy and sadness, you know, on that realm, we don't understand it. We don't comprehend it correctly. Bliss is something that is not in the dual nature, is not dual. It has no opposite. And so we think, well, that's so confusing. Why would it be taught that way? But it is the way to teach you, to teach everyone, as Papa did so beautifully, that this is difficult to understand, that it is, this world is exactly the way God wants it to be, right this moment. And the world is God. These are really shocking things to almost all people of all religions in some respects, because we don't see the world right now in a state of what we see as imbalance, as being perfectly in balance. So this world is created from bliss. If we go to the stories given to us, or not the stories, but the teachings of Sri Yukteswar, we have Satchitananda described as Sat being undifferentiated consciousness and existence, essentially existence itself. And it first divides into Chit and Ananda. Chit is consciousness as we normally think of it. It's that which apprehends reality. But what is reality that's created? What is its opposite number? It's Ananda, which is bliss. And we think, and the world, the physical world, everything here was created from descending into the lower realms from that state of bliss. So we have to be able to find that state of bliss in this world. It is here. We have to open our understanding of all things in the world. Doesn't, the mother always taught, doesn't mean we don't have a role to play here in which we take sides. That's not what I'm saying, and it's not, mother went to great pains to show that that's not true. We have a, when you, if God puts you in a position as a policeman, you have a duty and you must hold it up to the highest standards. But the difficulty, of course, for all of this is that we're not to take any credit for it, nor are we to take any blame for it either. We don't get to enjoy the fruits except as God dishes them out in prasad. First fruits all go to God. So well, let me finish with just my gratitude to Kate and to Lorraine Borsier, Lorraine Rennie, to Judy Ellis, to Janice Stevenson, and to Rebecca Harvey for the help they've given Kate, because it's a tremendous job that she took on. And I think this book will be starting, if not be, have a tremendous effect on the world. We may not see it. We may see it immediately. We really just do not know. Mother's laid all the groundwork. David's clearly implied in one of the last things he said that he came, that he's leaving, that he was going through what he was going through to bring this work of Mother's into existence. So his leaving when he did, it does correspond with the beginning of this book. All the transcribing has been done. His latter year, in his later months, he was unable to do the work once everything was in place. He wrote a beautiful introduction to this book, too. It's going to be wonderful. To when you read it, you love it. It's quite amazing. And I guess he's written forewords to the other books that he's been planning. And we're coming up on the solstice. These celebrations, beginnings of the year, really started at the solstice. The earth starts its rotation back towards the northern hemisphere, does its rotation back towards the sun. And a spring comes and everything starts again. So the cycle continues. Each time we go through it, we come to a higher point in our consciousness. It takes a million years of life as a human to get to final realization. That's a lot of circles through the system. But each time we attain a higher spot, unless we have a fall, and we climb again and eventually attain the goal. As we are led by people like Mother and David and Master and our line of gurus. So should we sing Silent Night? Mm-hmm. Kate, will you lead us in that?
Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon Virgin Mother and Child. Holy Infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly
bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. Oh.
know, many of Mother's disciples and David's disciples are very, very high souls. And when you're put in a circumstance and a situation that is difficult and very stressful and depressing and tamasic, keep in mind that many times this is coming psychically and karmically to you to lift up this world. The key is in not taking ownership. It's hard to do. We all feel guilty, or we all feel like we deserve more credit. Everything goes about that direction. But this movement, and Barbara Lutz, Mira's mother, told me years ago that mother's work is being done in small numbers, but it is having a huge effect on the world. And that's really what she came for. And we're all part of that. And it includes the ups and the downs. So take it as a positive thing that you can give to the world. Is to be as upbeat as possible and to lift the world, if not in reality, outwardly at least, to lift the world with your prayers and with your thoughts of the higher realms and the better times that are coming to this world.